Be'ezus Hashem, we are now going to be starting our Parsha class, Parsha B'Shalach. Tonight is the 9th of Shvat, Tov Shin Ayin Tes, corresponding with the secular calendar of January 14th, 2019. Parsha B'Shalach is a very, very rich Parsha of the numerous events that takes place in the parasha. I'll just give you a very quick overview, and I will pick on a particular point, and we will then dwell on that for the evening. As an overview on Parshas B'Shalach, Parshas B'Shalach begins where the Jewish people are on their way out of Mitzrayim, and the famous splitting of the Red Sea takes place. The famous Oz Yashir that we call Shira is sung by the Bnei Yisrael, the men separately and the women separately. The parasha continues where the Jewish people experience a miracle where the water of a place called Marah was bitter, and Moshe Rabbeinu throws in a piece of wood and it turns sweet. Later on, when their food supply runs out, that's after 30 days, because the matzah that they have saved for provisions only lasted 30 days, and at the 30th day they left at Tesvav Nisan, and at Tesvav Iyar they were done with their matzah, and they were asking Moshe for food, and obviously there was no food available. Moshe prayed to Hashem, and the whole discussion and miracle of the man takes place in this week's parasha as a tangential remark. There is a custom among the Bnei Yisrael to read over the parasha of man tomorrow. Parshas B'Shalach has in it the Parsha of Mon. I purposely brought the Siddur here to show you that in the back of the Shachar's davening is the Parshas Haman. People mistaken it as Haman. It's incorrect. It's Parshas Haman, the Parsha of the Jewish people eating man. Now, what's significant about it tomorrow, because man was the Jewish people's sustenance that they ate for 40 years. That was their panasa.
How do we read this tomorrow? In our prayers?
It's private. It's not done, like an over Sefer Torah. I personally will read it from a Chumash, with the trup, with the chazan's intonations, and with the targum, twice the chumash, and once the onkelos. But if you can say it once from the siddur, that would be beautiful.
After shacharis.
After shacharis.
What page is it on?
This one, the art school siddur, would be 181, and it goes for about.
It's 181. Which letter?
Oh, 181C.
C, yeah.
Oh, yeah, 181C.
There's a whole bunch of 181s,
right.
Yeah.
And it finishes with a tefillah on Parnassa.
I don't see it in
at 181G.
Do we include the tefillah of Parnassa?
It's nice if you could. Yeah. If you could.
It's easy to get.
Haman.
Okay. Did you follow?
Yeah, yes, yeah. I know where that is.
Okay.
I've read it.
So this is something that is.
And it's tomorrow that it's...
Why tomorrow? Because tomorrow is the third day of creation, Tuesday. And the third day of creation is when Hashem commanded for the ground to give forth its foliage, fruit, its vegetables, sustenance for animals and men. Everyone had to live off something. Tuesday is the time when the world was given the blessing of give forth your produce, and therefore Tuesday is a special time in the parsha of Bishalach to be able to read it. Now if you miss it, you can do it on Wednesday, and then Thursday it's still the week of Bishalach. You can't put that down, but there is reason to believe that there is a special source to read it on Tuesday, and many people do. And whenever I speak to members of my family, says, "Don't forget Parshas Haman. Don't forget Parshas Haman. It's a zechus. It's a merit for Parnassa." And the parsha continues to the story of Melchemes Amalek. But right before the story of Melchemes Amalek is the famous story where the Jewish people had no water to drink, and Moshe was commanded by Hashem to hit the rock, and the Jewish people had plenty of water ever since, for 40 years, until Miriam passes away. And then, of course, there's a story of Amalek. So I just gave you an overview of the whole parasha. It's quite rich in so much history, but I'm going to focus on one particular area. I'm going to give you an insight of how the parasha brings out doing mitzvahs, an attitude towards doing mitzvahs, and how important it is that we should adjust our focus in how we do mitzvahs. So for that, let's begin Parshas Bishalach, page 366, and we're going to begin Pasuk Yotes. This is when the Jewish people are leaving Mitzrayim, and everyone's busy getting wealthy by taking things from gifts and clothing and jewelry and precious gems from the Egyptians. And the Pasuk says over here, Vayikach Moshe es atzmais Yosef imoy. Moshe was busy taking the bones of Yosef with him. Ki hashbeya hishbeya es b'nei Yisrael leimor, because the Jewish people were caused to swear, to make an oath, saying, when right before Yosef died, he said, "Poko yivkod elokim eschem, Hashem will surely remember you. And you are to take my bones out from here." He also included the bones of the Shvatim as well. And they all swore, and it was handed down from one generation to the next generation, that they must take Yosef's body out of Mitzrayim. I can't help but tell you the famous Medrash, what's going behind this whole thing, that where was Moshe supposed to find Yosef's bones? He didn't even know where to look. So he asked Serach Bas Asher, that girl who played a musical instrument at the time when Yaakov Avinu discovered that his son Yosef was truly alive. And they did this, the Shvatim had planned Serach Bas Asher to play music and sing the lyrics of O Yosef Chai. So you can imagine, in one room, she's playing either on a harp or on a violin, O Yosef Chai, Yosef is still alive, O Yosef Chai. Now he's in the other room and hearing this silly, silly sounding song, Yosef is dead already 22 years. Oh, Yosef. And this was continuously on his mind as he was being forced to listen to this tune. And then finally, when they came with the news, it says, Abba, we have the most incredible, astonishing, unbelievable news you never ever believe. And Yaakov, in his emotions, says, what could they possibly be talking about? Maybe it has something to do with about that silly song. And he didn't die from a heart attack, from shock, because he was primed. He gave Serach Bas Usher a blessing of longevity. She still lived several hundred years. And Moshe went to Serach Bas Usher. She said, do you know you're the oldest human being from our people? Where is the body of Yosef? I have to fulfill a promise. She says, I know where it is. It was buried in a lead casket on the bottom of the Nile River. Now, they didn't have any submarines those days, or professional scuba divers, and do they have any means of lifting up a terribly heavy lead box. Moshe said, thank you very much, no problem. He wrote on a slab of gold the pasuk of Yosef's blessing, Ali Shur. The word Shur is one of the psukim in the blessing that Yaakov blessed Yosef. And the word Shur can mean ox. But the word Ali means rise. So he put it into the water and it said, rise, ox. Rise from the depths. And the casket floated on top of the water like an ice cube. He took the casket. He was able then now to carry it with him. And he was busy with the bones of Yosef. Now, the Medrash at that time says on that pasuk, he was busy with the dead bones of Yosef. It says on him, Chacham Lev Yikach Mitzvos. A wise heart is a person who takes mitzvahs. Everybody's busy with getting wealthy, and he is busy with dead bones.
What do you mean takes mitzvahs?
Takes as many as he can.
He grabs the opportunity when it arises, grabs the mitzvah. On Moshe Rabbeinu, that's what it says. For grabbing the body of Yosef and occupying his day, and of course the 40 years with Yosef's bones. So my Rebbe brings out a question, Sefer Chideko, Reb Chaim Zev Keller. We have to understand this. Wasn't the Jewish people told to go get the wealth from the Egyptians so that not to put like Hashem's word to shame, when Hashem promised Avram that, and your children will leave with great wealth. So he asked them, please go out and ask. So wasn't that the right thing? Wasn't that a kind of a mitzvah? They were asked to go ahead so that they'll all be able to get the gold and silver and the clothing and to make become wealthy as a request from Hashem. So Rabbi Elyo Meir Bloch, Zeche Tzadik Levracha, that tells the Rosh Yeshiva, says that it was a mitzvah, but not the kind of a mitzvah that Moshe fulfilled. That mitzvah had some personal interest in. They did this to fulfill Hashem's request. It was a bakasha, a request. It wasn't a command, you must go get this. It says, please fulfill Hashem's desire to seeing that the Jewish people leave wealthy. But there was a double benefit. The benefit of Hashem's request, having Avram know that his descendants left Mitzrayim with great wealth, but every Jew walked away very happy too. There was a personal benefit in that. When Moshe Rabbeinu was busy with the dead bones of Yosef, there was nothing more than dead bones. It was purely L'shem Shemayim. You can do a mitzvah that could be partially L'shem Shemayim, partially for the sake of God, and partially for yourself. This particular mitzvah had in it some personal benefits. And these benefits, right, were valuable to the individual Jew, and therefore you couldn't rate that mitzvah on the level of Yosef's bones being taken by Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu, with full dedication, was occupying himself with getting the bones of Yosef, and on him it says, Chacham Lev Yikach Mitzvos. A wise heart takes mitzvos. So that's just beginning the parsha. An attitude. Doing a mitzvah. Doing a mitzvah in its entirety. Doing a mitzvah for the sake of doing a mitzvah. Doing a mitzvah because it is an opportunity for greatness and it offers you eternal reward. That's all you are doing it for. You don't have any ulterior motives. So that's how the parasha begins, how we are to look at a mitzvah, and we should do it with excitement and with anticipation. Now, in doing a mitzvah, one has to realize we are challenged. There's always challenges. There's always a Yetzirah there. There's always a force that tries to take the mitzvah and blemish the mitzvah or do something to the mitzvah. Now we got to be aware of that. But in fulfilling a mitzvah the way we are being told, as Moshe Rabbeinu fulfilled it, we have to keep our focus. Now, sometimes when mitzvahs are done, right, it might not seem that we are worthy of any great reward. But I'm going to bring you to a part of the parasha that there was a whole discussion between a malach and the Sar Shalyam, between the officer that ran the sea, whether the Jewish people should be saved or whether the Jewish people should be drowned. So let me bring this to your attention and let's show you how right away you can see, even when you do mitzvahs, there's challenges. Let's turn now to Perek Yudalit, Pasuk Chavez. This is in the middle of the Jewish people.
What pasuk?
Are going through the Red Sea. Yudalit, Perek Yudalit, Pasuk Chavez, that would be on page 372. If you are familiar with the story a little bit, this is right before the Oz Yashir, and this is literally focusing where the Jewish people are going in to the sea. And at first, you know, the Medrash says that the Jewish people did not know what to do. And Moshe Rabbeinu was told by Hashem, just go forward into the sea. And some Shevet Yehuda, Nachum ben Aminadav from Shevet Yehuda was the first to jump into the Red Sea, and then it started to split. But let's go read some psukim, and you see that there was a lot going on in the sea and how we have to get a better insight of what this story was all about. Here, Pasuk Chabez, Vayavou b'nei Yisrael b'soch hayom b'yabosha. And the Jewish people went into the Yam, into the sea, in Bayabasha, in the dryness of the sea.
Where's that?
V'hamayim lahem choma, and the water became a wall, miminam umismolam, from the right and to the left. Okay? I'm going to tell you soon a medrash that's going to really enlighten you. This pasuk says first that the word choma is spelled with a vav. This is a thought that I'm going to show you from the Vilna Goyen, the Gra, the holy Vilna Goyen. So we see that the Jewish people jumped into the sea and they turned to the dry land and the wall became a choma, a wall. Now let's turn now to Pasuk Chavtet. Next page. Page 374. It says almost a similar but yet a slightly different. Uvenei Yisrael holchu v'yabosha b'sechayom. And the Jewish people went in the dry land in the middle of the sea. V'hamayim lahem choma,
without
the vav, and the water became a wall, miminam umismailam, from the right and from the left. The Vilna Goyen asked the question, how come? How come the first pasuk it says choma with a vav, and this pasuk says choma without a vav? So he says there was a very, very big difference. Choma with a vav translates as a wall. Choma without a vav can be read as chema. Chema means wrath. It was a wrath at the time when this... What was the wrath? Now we'll look at exactly what happened over here.
So what's a wrath? Wrath is a wave, a negative wave?
The wrath is anger.
Anger.
A terrible anger.
Oh.
There was an anger that the sea had to split and it didn't want to. Why?
Oh.
So here's a whole discussion over here. There is a discussion over here. Now if you look at the psukim, here it says in page 374, Ubnei Yisrael holchu b'yabasha. When it was dry land, then they walked in the middle of the sea. The pasuk on 372 says, no, they jumped first into the water, and then it became dry. Mm. He said, v'yavo b'nei Yisrael b'saychayam, and then it came b'yabasha. There were two groups. There were a group of believers, and there were a group of non-believers, or their unsure to trust Hashem and to abide by Him. Why? Because they were idol worshippers. V'sar shel yam, the one who was in charge of the sea, says, "Why shall I split? My elu avdu avayda zara, afalalu avdu avayda zara." Just like the Egyptians served idols, so did the Jewish people serve idols. For them, I should split. And they were, it was angry. That was the chema. So how did that chema dissipate? So it's brought down in the Medrash. As it brings down that Gavriel put the wall of water into a wall. It made the sea become firm because he answered, he answered the Sar Shel Yam. He said, Hashem is going to give the Jewish people with his right hand the Torah. And as soon as he said that, the wall on the right became firm. And then he said, and the wall to the left should be a wall because the Jewish people are going to be putting their tefillin on the left hand. Because a righty always puts his tefillin on his left. And the wall to the left became firm and strong. He said the Jewish people are going to wear a talis, arba kanfas, tzitzis, that will cover their backs. And they were protected from any water from behind. As soon as the Sar Shel Yam heard that, it gave in and it did not give any more trouble to the Jewish people. Now, they did not yet get the mitzvah. They did not yet fulfill the mitzvah. They were on their way. They were on their way to be Makabel Torah, which entailed not just learning Torah, but putting on tefillin and wearing tzitzis.
In advance.
And so they got the merit in advance.
Who's telling this to the water?
Malach Gavriel.
Speaking.
Malach Gavriel, as the Medrash says. You hear what's going on over here? The whole discussion. Let's stop and study this. Even though they were idol worshippers, how do you get to the 49th level of Tumah? Remember, 4/5 of the Jewish people didn't make it. That's over 2.5 million people died in the Makkah of Choshech because they were so steeped into idolatry. And the lifestyle and culture of the Egyptian culture, right? That they couldn't even be pulled out of the tumah of the contamination of Egypt. They couldn't. So 49 is pretty bad too. I wish it on nobody. How do you get there with idolatry? Well, if that's what happened, the Sar Shel Yam had a good complaint. The officer of the sea did have something to say. But we know what Gavriel was saying. You might be right, but they're going to be mekabel the Torah from Hashem, and intrinsically they are a holy people. They are not what you think they are. The Egyptians are Egyptians. They are through and through Egyptian to their culture, to their idols, to their lifestyle, and that's where they deserve to be drowned and eliminated. The Jewish people were affected by their culture. Intrinsically, they are a holy people. And since they are going to do a mitzvah, they are worthy of redemption, they are worthy of being saved, and to see splits. Another insight to doing a mitzvah. Wanting to do a mitzvah wholeheartedly offers you merit. There's merit there. Now, if you think for one moment that their Yetzirah doesn't contend with this and he just ignores you, then you're making a big mistake. We even daven every day in Ma'ariv. V'hasir Satan mulfaneinu me'acharenu. We ask Hashem, please remove the Satan from before us and from behind us. Well, before us, the analogy would be, go steal some money. Go break a window. Go do something obviously inappropriate. We're told, be careful, remove the satan milfaneinu, what's obviously in front of you. What's the yameacharenu? What's from behind you? What kind of a satan could there be behind you? The answer is, it's the satan that tells you to do mitzvahs when you're not supposed to. When you overdo certain mitzvahs and you get yourself into trouble. When you are not careful in how you're serving Hashem. Let's take doing chesed. You like to do people, it's a mitzvah, do chesed. But you do chesed on your spouse's time, you do chesed on your harus's time, you do chesed when you should be davening, and you miss the time to daven, you miss the time for kriya satara. I'm doing chesed. You know what? That's all master planned by the Yetzer Hara. That's v'haser satan me'acharenu, to remove the Yetzer Hara from behind you. He gets you excited about doing mitzvahs, but he wants to blind you to the outcome. You can give tzedakah, or give it to the wrong places. Or you can give tzedakah, and then get yourself into a monetary situation where you don't have enough money to pay for your lunch, breakfast, lunch, and supper. You know, there is a point where we have to be responsible on what we do. And when we're saying, V'hosir satan mufanei me'achareinu, we are in short saying, Hashem wants us to be responsible. And we're asking Hashem in our davening, help us be responsible. So we'll do the mitzvahs properly, and we shall not be attracted to things that blind us from the truth, blind us from the right path. The parsha, so we're getting a perspective of mitzvahs. We see from Moshe Rabbeinu doing the mitzvah, taking care of Yosef's body, right? A total mitzvah. And then we have the mitzvah that the Malach is telling the Sar HaYam, that the Jewish people are going to do, that even if they didn't do it yet, but there is merit if you're going to do it. And all this was happening. The Jewish people were going to be Mekabel Torah, right? As I'm saying, if it's really true that you are about to do a mitzvah, and you are intending to do a mitzvah, and you are gung-ho in doing and getting that mitzvah done, we have a saying in Chazal, our rabbis say, Machshava Taiva, HaKadosh Baruch Hu Metzaref L'Maisa. A good thought, Hashem will create it as if, and consider it as if it was done. You understand? Now that is something to bear with. But I'm showing you how the parasha has developed an appreciation in us, or it's trying to develop an appreciation in us for doing mitzvahs. The parasha then continues. We have the mitzvah that surrounds man, the mitzvah of surrounding man. The Torah is telling us, Moshe gave the Jewish people very specific instructions. You're going to have man, it's going to fall from heaven, but I want you to know, you cannot store it. You're going to get a daily portion, right? You're going to get, your ration will be exactly as much as you need, but don't store it. Because you're going to have to pray for that in the month tomorrow. You have to pray for your month. But you will pray and you'll get it. But you have to pray for it. Another thing is that there'll be double man on Erev Shabbos. So even though you're not allowed to store the man, but expect the man to come in double. So you'll have it. That's what Moshe, and that was a mitzvah that they were supposed to fulfill. Now, it happens to be, Parshas B'Shalach also is known as Shabbos Shira, the Shabbos of Oz Yashir, when you'll notice everybody standing up, when everybody will hear the Shira being read. There's a very popular story that's said over about the month, where Dasan va'aviram, our two famous troublemakers, were the first ones who challenged Moshe and left purposely the mun overnight, and they stored it, and it became wormy and putrid. And Dasan va'aviram did something else to defame Moshe. When Moshe Rabbeinu said, there will not be man falling on Shabbos, so take your man on Erev Shabbos, you're going to get a double dose, a double portion. And Dasan va'aviram wanted to put Moshe to shame, so they took their portion of man and they spread it out in the field, and then called everyone out to see how Moshe Rabbeinu lied. Now we all are familiar with the story. The birds came and protected the dignity of Moshe, and they either ate the man or they took it and with their beaks and flew it somewhere else. So when Dasan va'aviram came that morning and woke everybody up, and people said, where is the man? And they said, it's over here. No, but it wasn't there. Oh, it must be over there. It wasn't there either. And they of course were humiliated by their attempt to go ahead and embarrass Moshe, but because the birds were those special creatures that did this to safeguard Moshe Rabbeinu, there's a custom that right before Shabbos you should put some crumbs out for the birds, so that even though winter time is a hard time for them to find bread, find food, that this is a way of showing our appreciation that they honored our Rebbe, our Moshe Rabbeinu, at a time where he could have been humiliated and put to shame. So that's a custom in this week's parsha. So that's a custom. And then we have another mitzvah. We have a mitzvah, is the mitzvah of Mechias Amalek, to remember what Amalek tried to do to us. They came out of nowhere for no reason. They were not in any way they incited. They were not there was no reason. The Jewish people weren't going to go out to get their land. They just hated any godliness in the world, anything that had to do with Hashem, and they came out to destroy the Jewish people. And we have a mitzvah for Mochit Timcha Ezech Amalek, to wipe out the memory of Amalek, because they actually were the ones who instigated the hatred that's perpetuated till today. The reason why the world has such hate for the Jewish people, after all, they've seen such miracles, how could they misinterpret what they saw? They knew that the sea split, and according to the Medrash, every body of water in the world had a split in it. They knew it there. Why did they have the audacity to start up with the Jewish people? Because Amalek was the first one to make it happen. And since that happened, so we have a mitzvah of Mochit Timcha Ezech Amalek. They were the first ones, and therefore we have a mitzvah to wipe out Amalek, because if they're not wiped out, they try to wipe us out. And there's a very strong reason to believe that Germans have some kind of connection with Amalek, because they were the cause of so many millions of people being killed. At any rate, in conclusion, we summarize my message of the parasha, that we have a deeper and more profound insight in doing mitzvahs, and we learned this from Moshe Rabbeinu, and we have to do mitzvahs when we can with our heart and soul. And Hashem gives us full recognition and credit for it. We see from the splitting of the Red Sea that despite the fact that the Red Sea did not want to split, but as Malach Avriel protected the Jewish people by saying that they're going to go ahead and be mekabel the Torah and do other mitzvahs, this anticipation of doing mitzvahs was sufficient to be able to save the Jewish people at the time from being drowned and the sea split. And this is another way of us understanding the power of every mitzvah. We should try to do a mitzvah, every mitzvah we can. We do not know the real reward of any mitzvah, but I do know one thing, and with this I conclude. The Chafetz Chaim was once asked by somebody, could you please tell me the value of a mitzvah? And the Chafetz Chaim said, it's the value you give it. If the mitzvah is worth a lot, then you will give it value. You will cherish it. You will do it with excitement. You will do it with relish. If you don't value a mitzvah, then you will not give it that much attention. You'll ignore it, or you will do it haphazardly, and you won't do it with the right intention. So we have to work on knowing that doing mitzvahs is a key to Gan Eden, it's a key to greatness, and we should learn from Moshe Rabbeinu, as it said by Moshe Rabbeinu, Chacham Lev Yikach Mitzvahs. A wise heart is a person who does mitzvahs. With that, we should have a wonderful week, and you should be matzliach. Take care.
Thank you.